Now, millions of people have fled Ukraine to escape the Russian invasion. Most have crossed into Poland, and the United States announced it would accept up to 100,000 refugees and will continue to send aid to Eastern Europe. Over the weekend, President Biden met with refugees in Poland and called on countries around the world to step up and help meet that need.
Helping these refugees is not something Poland or any other nation should carry alone. All the world democracies have a responsibility to help. All of them. And the people of Ukraine can count on the United States to meet its responsibility.
The refugee crisis has raised questions about what the United States' responsibility is and how the country's handling these refugees compared to other humanitarian crises around the world. You could join in at 800-642-1234. What role do you think the United States should play in the Ukrainian refugee crisis? Were you glad to hear the U.S. is accepting up to 100,000 refugees from Ukraine? Should that number be higher, do you think? What questions do you have about the refugee resettlement process? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Elise Cohen is an associate professor of political science at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. She's chair there of the Public and Environmental Affairs Unit. Elise, welcome back to Central Time.
It's great to be with you, Rob.
We're seeing these numbers coming out of Ukraine. Can you talk about the scope of this refugee crisis, the number of people, the pace at which they've been displaced, and fit it into our perspective on other recent displacements around the world?
Absolutely. We are looking at about 3.8 million, quote, refugees, meaning they have fled across the borders of Ukraine. Internally, we have way more than that. We have around 6.5 million estimated to be internally displaced, so that they are still within the borders of Ukraine, but they have been forcibly driven from their homes. So all in all, that's around 10 million people, but it grows every week. And most of those are women and children because, of course, men between the ages of 18 and 60 have been restricted from leaving.
How is the level of support for Ukrainian refugees compared with other big humanitarian crises in recent years?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think there's been some attention around that, especially the really disparate treatment of Ukrainian refugees compared with Syrian refugees. If listeners remember back in 2014, 2015, the Syrian refugee crisis was actually called the greatest refugee crisis in the world since World War II. And if we notice, the Ukrainian refugee situation is being called the greatest refugee crisis in Europe since World War II. And there's something about that European aspect and the racial and cultural component of it that factors in as well, that has created a much more receptive and welcoming response to Ukrainians compared with Syrians and others from the Middle East and Central Asia and Africa in the last few years.
I want to give a listen to a recent interview we did. We know Poland is bearing the brunt of the refugee crisis. 2 weeks ago here on Central Time, we talked to UW-Platteville professor Andrei Ivanov, who joined the show from Krakow, Poland, where he was helping his Ukrainian parents with their escape from Ukraine.
The Polish people are very welcoming, and they are opening up their homes, and they're opening up their hearts, and they're helping, and they're feeding. And the students at the university in Krakow here are very active in volunteer work, in help, in finding clothing. A lot of stores, I see things, basic things, pharmacies are empty because they're trying to buy up medications for the refugees who couldn't take them with them. If you have only an hour to pack up your bags and leave your home, what are you going to take?
Can you talk about the humanitarian situation in Poland right now with so many Ukrainian refugees showing up across the border there?
Yes, definitely. Poland is hosting the most refugees at the moment. So over 2 million have fled directly to that neighbor. And this makes sense because Poland has already been a main destination for Ukrainians in recent years. Roughly 1 million Ukrainians were already working abroad in Poland. So there were a lot of connections established even before the war from Russia. And we also see a lot of cultural and historical connections between the country. You know, even the language, something like that matters in a moment like this when, you know, there's a mutual intelligibility between Polish and Ukrainian that eases interactions. The European Union, of course, has also discussed a fair burden sharing. So it shouldn't fall alone to countries like Poland or those immediate neighbors, Romania, Moldova, Hungary. The European Union has really stepped up in the sense of offering this temporary protection directive. It's essentially going to enable Ukrainians to have a clear legal status across the European Union for residence, for access to education, healthcare, employment, accommodations. They're really framing that as sort of welcoming Ukrainians as part of a European way of life.
The U.S. Announced a temporary protected status for Ukrainians already in the U.S. and says we'll accept 100,000 refugees from Ukraine. What are your thoughts on the scope of that reaction?
Yeah, that's a really interesting aspect, because if we would compare that to the Afghan refugee situation not too long ago, right, just this past fall here in the United States, we saw a lot of the similar momentum in the first couple of months for welcoming Afghans, especially those that had helped U.S. troops. And that number that the U.S. ended up evacuating for resettlement was a little over 70,000, around 76,000. So we can right away see that there is an increase in this number of 100,000 for the Ukrainian situation, and then a much more rapid response in terms of going ahead with, like you mentioned, the temporary protected status, which would enable at least 18 months to not worry about deportation for around 30,000 Ukrainians who are already here in the country. We also need to think about that number. That 100,000 is probably most will not be the formal refugee admissions program. A lot is probably going to be through that humanitarian parole or some visas, like there's this Lautenberg Amendment visa program that has for a long time protected religious minorities fleeing Ukraine. And so there could also be family reunification visas through that kind of program.
We're talking about the Ukrainian refugee crisis with Elise Cohen. She's an associate professor of political science at UW Green Bay. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you think the U.S. has a responsibility to help in the Ukrainian refugee crisis? If so, what do you think the U.S. role should be? Do you have questions about how this all works, the practical elements of getting help to refugees? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas at WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk with UW Green Bay political science professor Elise Cohen about how the U.S. and Europe are handling millions of refugees leaving Ukraine. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you want to see the U.S. do, if anything, when it comes to refugee relief for Ukrainians fleeing the Russian invasion? 800-642-1234 is the number for your comments or questions. Mike joins us now in Madison. Mike, hello.
Yeah, good afternoon. This is the first time in my 50 years on this planet that there's a true moral righteousness to go in and help people. So far in my lifetime in Vietnam, Korea never begged us for help. Vietnam never begged us for help. Kuwait didn't beg us for help. Iraq, Afghanistan, no one has begged us for help. Ukraine has gone on international television begging for help in a war that we should be morally and ethically involved in. It's the first time in United States history we've been asked to help legitimately, and we are not. And I find it completely appalling.
Mike, thanks for the call. I think Mike's referring to the military side of things here, Elise, which we've also talked about on the show. Is there a moral obligation, I think, for the United States to help with refugees in a situation like Ukraine?
Yeah, I think that the caller there, Mike, is really tapping into something that aligns with a lot of the rhetoric coming from the Biden administration about why the U.S. has an obligation to share some of the responsibility for Ukrainian refugees. You know, President Biden has framed this as fight between a democracy and an oligarch. And these refugees from Ukraine have really taken on the symbolic value of representing support for democratic values and support for human rights. So I think that's part of the reason why you can see this framing around a moral obligation and a sense of solidarity, like the caller is referencing, because there really is this belief that Ukrainians are like us and share our values, and therefore we have an extra responsibility in this case.
Mike, thanks for calling in. Kevin joins us now in Deerfield. Kevin, hi.
Thank you. I am interested in the Ukrainian refugee situation and the possibility of some of them coming to Wisconsin. But you touched on the Afghan refugees and just, you know, thinking about how to handle the Ukrainian situation. Could you update us on what the Afghan refugee status is? Are they all here and still need to be placed? Are there more coming, or what is the status of that? And if there's anything else in terms of, the overall situation, I'd be.
Kevin, thanks for the call. Elise, are you tracking what's happening with Afghan refugees and people, as you mentioned, on the humanitarian parole provision in Wisconsin and elsewhere in the country?
Yeah, absolutely. Kevin raises a really great point there. So around 76,000 Afghans were admitted into the United States after that Taliban takeover from August, and roughly 67,000 of those have already been processed now at the U.S. military sites. So essentially, right before this war unfolded with Ukraine, the U.S. government was saying, look, we've finished the first phase of the resettlement for the Afghan evacuees, and a lot of them have been moved out of that temporary housing on the bases to actually get resettled into local communities. And I think we have around 800 or so have been resettled in Wisconsin, at least 160 just right down the way from where I am, down in Milwaukee. So that has been in progress. However, there's this really big backlog, and there are still thousands of Afghans waiting at bases overseas, for example, in Qatar and the UAE, that have not yet had the processing occur. And then we haven't been able to evacuate still yet many thousands more who are at risk of abduction and killing and kidnapping of their family members still in Afghanistan, internally displaced. So there are concerns from some lawmakers that were really advocating for those Afghans from the start, that remains unfinished, and attention to it has kind of faded or waned into the background now that we have this new focus on a different refugee situation.
Kevin, thanks for that call. Elise, we had talked about changes in U.S. refugee policy in recent years, the numbers cut down, for example, during the Trump administration. Do we have the infrastructure, whether that's government agencies, relief groups here in Wisconsin and elsewhere, to be able to quickly and efficiently do something like bring 100,000 Ukrainian refugees and others into the country?
Yeah, Rob, that's the really tough question, because we did see with the Trump presidency that we went from around 100,000 or so with the refugee admission ceiling from the Obama administration all the way down each year to 15,000 by the end of that term in 2020. And as part of that process, there was a dismantling of the infrastructure for resettlement, and a lot of the resources really scaled back, even, you know, staffing really scaled back for refugee resettlement. And so part of the problem is, even aside from the Ukraine refugee situation, we saw the Biden administration has been making very slow progress on meeting its stated goal, even for this fiscal year. The stated fiscal year cap is 125,000 for refugees, but we're just around 7,000 people that have actually been able to be processed. So the backlog and the lack of resources and the dismantling by the previous administration does have a legacy effect.
Talking to Elise Cohen from UW Green Bay about Ukrainian refugees, U.S. efforts at relief in Eastern Europe and here at home. Back to your calls at 800-642-1234. Linda is with us in Milwaukee. Linda, hi.
Hi. First of all, I'd like to say that I don't think we should be making these foolish excuses. This is the most powerful and the most wealthy country in the world. And I'd like to also remind people what it says on the Statue of Liberty. Give me your tired, your hungry, and your poor, your wretched refuse, yearning to be free. I lift my lamp beside the golden shore. This country can absorb anything. This country can do anything.
Linda, thanks for the call. Lise, what do you think?
Yeah, I think that Linda is really tapping into a lot of the Biden administration's emphasis that the U.S. should restore our global leadership with that kind of message that Linda is bringing from the Statue of Liberty, that we're really a safe haven and it's part of American identity. And you can see that distinction with Biden talking in terms of responsibility sharing, saying this Ukraine situation is not just a Europe or a NATO problem. It is a global responsibility, and the U.S. needs to play a leadership role. And that's really different with that emphasis on multilateralism and working collectively from the America First vision that we had seen when the resettlement program was taken down. So I think that kind of messaging and that framing really has an impact for people.
Linda, thanks a lot for that call. Elise, how about relief for people, Ukrainians in Poland and other neighboring countries who are hoping, I think, many of them to have a short stay and to find themselves back in Ukraine as soon as it is safe to do so? What are the key things for relief, keeping them sheltered and fed and things like that?
Yeah, that's another important angle of this. And the Biden administration did announce as part of the 100,000 being possibly admitted last week that there would also be this aid package of $1 billion in humanitarian assistance to Poland and to other Eastern European ally countries. And that is supposed to be targeted for humanitarian aid for food, shelter, clean water, and medical supplies. So we can see that there is a lot of outpouring of support in the humanitarian aid, not only from the civil society and the people themselves offering their homes and offering donations, but in the form of real government assistance that they will be investing for that.
And we got a question via our website from Mavis, who says, how could a person volunteer to take a Ukrainian family into their home? Elise, I don't know if we're at that stage yet, but in general, if people want to say, yeah, I want to open up my house to a refugee family or do what I can, what kind of things did you point them toward?
Well, there is a very interesting new pilot program that the Biden administration was trying out, mainly in response to facilitating Afghan refugee resettlement. And we'll have to watch and see now if it can be used for the Ukraine situation. But it's called Sponsor Circle Program. And I would encourage listeners, if they're interested, to just look up the Sponsor Circle Program. They're trying out this private sponsorship with small groups of Americans pooling together their funds to form a sponsor circle, commit to assisting refugees for the first 3 months they're here with things like registering children for school, locating housing and jobs, and undergoing background checks, taking online courses, you know, to ensure the sponsors are really well equipped to do that work. But anyone who wants to look can check out the Sponsor Circle program and see the website if it will move beyond Afghan refugees. Another thing would just be to work with the Wisconsin resettlement agencies that are really involved, like Lutheran Social Services or Jewish Social Services. So we have a number of groups even here in the state. And of course, a lot of civil society groups are taking donations at this time.
Elise, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thanks so much. Great to be with you, Rob.
Elise Cohen is an associate professor of political science at UW Green Bay. She was with us today looking at the treatment of Ukrainian refugees fleeing the Russian invasion and the U.S. role in providing relief. Still time for you to share your thoughts. You can always email ideas@WPR.org or tweet us @CentralTimeWPR.